And now, Dan Happel's Connecting the Dots.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
The men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt,
I love this land.
God bless the USA.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting the Dots. Stumper, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Dan. How's everything down in Phoenix?
Actually, Tucson.
Tucson.
Yeah. Well, it's 81 today for a high, and I noticed that back in Pony, Montana, next week it's going to be snowing, so I'm glad we are where we are. Our trees are all blooming, all of our citrus trees, and life is good.
The longer you put it off, Dan, the more work you're going to have when you finally go back to Montana, though.
Oh, trust me, I know that. I know that. That's why I'm going to have to be back next month. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I'm enjoying it down here. I really am.
I can tell.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I can't get much tanner. I just keep getting more and more sun every day, so...
Yeah, you look like you've been enjoying the sun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I have. Actually, I've been out on the roof. I'm recoating the roof on my house, so that's quite a little
project. That'll get you some sun.
Yeah, that's getting me a lot of sun. Anyway, Chris is really doing a great job with his show. That closer is just dynamite. He really did a great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, he's sure a good kid, isn't he?
He does a good job, yeah.
Yeah,
he does a really good job, and I know he's really looking forward to having the red pill there in Indianapolis. That should be a good event.
Yeah, we're official now. We came out. We finally got the contract signed on it with the Wyndham Suite Hotel I guess it would be southeast Indianapolis, right next to the Beltway there. And it's going to be July 8th and 9th and 10th. And really, it's the 9th and 10th, but the 8th is a kind of a setup day. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a few things going on the evening of the 8th, but primarily the 9th and the 10th, which is a Saturday and a Sunday. And it's going to be a dynamite program. We got all the speakers pretty well lined up and ready to go. So it's going to be a fun time. Hope you can get to one of these. Thumper, you're more fun to be around than just about anybody I know.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll have to wait and see. I've got some trips planned this summer on the bike.
Okay.
And I don't know. How much? Let's see. Can I drag all my production equipment on the bike? I don't know.
I bet I could line up a trailer for you.
At the cost of gas these days, boy, I tell you what, it's getting crazy.
It is.
I don't know. Did you see that little sticker I had up there on my thing there?
No, I guess I missed it.
Oh, but... Yeah. You check this out. This is a... Here. Yeah. I checked the Kelley Blue Book today for my car's value, and it asked if the tank was full or empty.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That pretty much says it all right there, huh?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, I'll and another $1,000 if it comes with a full tank of gas, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'll tell you what, we're in a mess right now, and I'm just glad we're all, I know the people who are on our side, Debbie's one of them, and we are so lucky to have such good patriots standing with us. And I'm just telling you, we are on the right side of everything right now, whether it feels like it or not. They're doing everything in their power to try to destroy everything we do. You know, it's like the January 6th thing. I mean, they're going after everybody just because they're a Trump supporter. It doesn't matter whether they did anything or not, just if they're a Trump supporter. And all I can say is that I know for a fact the Epoch Times came out yesterday with my latest edition, and they said that 4.8 million votes were... They did an intensive year-and-a-half study, and they've determined that 4.5 million votes, I think 4.8 million votes, were stolen and flipped. So that gives you a pretty good idea, considering that old Biden won by, what, 200,000 votes, supposedly, in all these different key state races combined.
Yeah,
this ought to give you a pretty good idea of the level of corruption we're dealing with. Incidentally, I have to tell you, Arizona public PBS station now is running a program demonizing all the Trump supporters and calling January 6th an event of treason. Can you believe this crap? They couldn't make this up. Well, guess what? PBS, you can kiss my you know what. We're paying for PBS out of our tax dollars, and all I can say is it's time to pull the plug on that outfit.
Yeah, well, there's so much stuff that we need to pull a plug on, and one of them isn't dams. I'm sure. I'm gonna give you a segue into your show today.
Yeah.
We don't pull the plugs on the damn dams.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We don't destroy $1 trillion worth of infrastructure, and that's really what we're talking. You couldn't replace all these dams for $1 trillion.
Oh yeah,
you couldn't. And that's what they're talking about doing. And then in the process, it's going to eliminate, I think, somewhere around 13 or 14% of all U.S. energy production is hydroelectric. And they plan on getting rid of all that. And, of course, they're going to make it up with their wind and solar, which at best is reliable about 30% of the time.
How many times do we have to slap them across the face with the facts that there is no way that they can use solar or wind, even in the wildest stretch of the imagination, to replace current generation, power generation facilities? I mean... coal, gas, natural gas fired dams. I mean, dams for any, crying out loud. Unless they're planning on turning the whole planet into, the one you saw in the movie Dune or something, it makes absolutely no sense. And not only that, but, they also told us that the other reason for the dams was the flood control. So are we just going to let, the rivers run free and then move a bunch of communities, out of the way of the, spring floods and, the whole idea of it is just ridiculous.
It is. It's not based on any engineering, any science, anything. It's based strictly on what they say the green movement stands for, and that's pre-Columbian wilderness.
Well, if the green movement depends on that, and then the fact of 500,000 tons of earth to make 1,000-pound Tesla battery for a stupid car. That when you're done with it, it's going to be thrown away, and you can't do anything with it. It's toxic waste. Yeah, we all need to drive around a Tesla with a 1,000-pound toxic battery.
Not to mention the fact that the average cost of an electric car is about $10,000 to $15,000 more than a gasoline-powered car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Well, I see Debbie's ready to go. I'm not sure who the other guest is, but I think it might be Theodora Johnson. I see that there is a 141 number on there, or a 416, I'm sorry, 416 number. Debbie, good to see you, young lady. You're always such a pleasure to be with. And I guess then we'll ask if Theodora is on as well.
Theo, in the chat box, I wrote that the 415 is my friend Rich Marshall.
Oh,
who
okay.
Is, yeah, Theo's kids got sick this morning. She texted me at 7 a.m. saying her kids have the flu. And so I was hoping Chrissy Reynolds would respond, but she, I guess, is celebrating her daughter's birthday. Uh-huh. So then last minute, and then I have a friend here. We're actually working on decor pieces for a fundraiser this upcoming weekend, mm-hmm. on the Second Amendment, and we're suing the state of California for open carry, for the right to open carry. Mm-hmm. So we're working on centerpieces, which we were going to do, you know, throughout the week, but anyway, things got crazy, and this is a crazy day. Mm-hmm. And so I called Rich saying, hey, Rich, so I do have my friend Louise here who moved to Siskiyou County to retire. She is a retired registered nurse. And she came up here, moved up here because she has family up here, Siskiyou County, California. We are just below the Oregon border. And she moved up here to do gardening and genealogy. And she has hardly done any of that because of she's heard about the destruction of our dams, our hydroelectric, clean, green, renewable energy dams. And then that opened up a whole plethora of other issues that Louise, who's in her 80s, just turned 80. Oh, she just said, oh, she's giving me cringe. But
you don't ever discuss a woman's age.
Here, Louise,
you
know, come over here, Debbie. Real quick. Pop your head in. But the 415 is my friend. Come around, Louise. Is my friend Richard Marshall, who is the president of the Siskiyou Water Users Association. So this is my friend Louise, and Rich's friend too, who came up here to retire. And you can't retire, can you?
No, too busy.
What are you doing?
That's the way it works, Debbie. You know that.
My property taxes and the worth of my property.
You may need to speak a little louder here, Louise.
Yeah.
So, Louise, why can't you retire, and how does that relate to the dams?
Well, I bought this home thinking that if I have to go into skilled nursing or something happens to me, they can sell my home and that will take care of me. Except now the property value in my home has gone down so much because of the threat of taking the dams out.
Wow. Well, Louise, I'll bet too that California right now, Californians are fleeing that state at record numbers. I mean, I can't imagine your property values have held as well as they have. Everybody's heading for either Montana or Arizona or Idaho.
I would love to go to Idaho, but I have a child who lives in Hawaii, which I don't want to go there. That's even more liberal, if you can imagine, than California. And I have a son in Oregon, so there's not any choices. If I move to Idaho, I'll be there by myself.
Well, stay with Debbie. She'll take care of you.
We do. We are so proud of this little thing. I'll tell you. But
I'm five.
So this she is a tiny little powerhouse, and Louise is an amazing example of how anybody in a community, you know, she just came to retire and have a good, you know, spend the rest of her life doing the things that she loves. And now she is our town crier, if you will, on vaccine issues as a registered nurse. She's loud and proud to speak out against mandatory vaccine. You're an amazing researcher.
And abortion on demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then water issues, and she goes toe to toe with our elected officials too, who, you know, sometimes think that, you know, all of us go toe to toe and they think we're mean because we're asking tough questions and then they don't want to answer them, or even not even tough questions.
No, easy questions.
Easy questions, but they don't want to answer and they don't want to, you know, be held accountable. So we have representatives here, I believe, I know you agree with me, who aren't really representing us, but more a future career in politics.
I think that makes me so crazy is that people will put things up on Facebook and they'll complain about stuff. And then I say to them, okay, now that you know, what are you going to do? And people think because they put it up on Facebook or put it out in their email list that that's the end of it. But we really need people to call in and to let their legislators know. And I think that's what frustrates me. And when I keep telling them, silence implies consent. And if you don't speak, you can't be heard. And you need to start speaking. You need to start reporting. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and not just speaking, but saying no and meaning it. When they say they're going to do all these things to us, we have to say, no, you're not. We're not going to put up with this crap.
And stick together. I think, you know, with the water issues up here, people are afraid to stand alone. And because, you know, either, and we'll get more into this. Rich Marshall will have a lot more information on this as well. But, you know, it's like there's backroom deals going on, and at the expense is our way of life up here. In a rural area like beautiful Siskiyou County. And Louise moved up here. My parents moved up here because we love it, and it's beautiful.
Since the 1850s. And they say that the anadromous salmon, they never saw go past Ward's Canyon unless there was a flood of some kind that they might have come up there. But generally in the upper lake areas, you have steelhead. And you have red band salmon. Red band salmon are predatory salmon. They're a freshwater salmon, but they're more ancient even than the salmon that are anadromous. And that's documented by a group, marine biologists out of Colorado, University of Colorado, who've written a paper about it. And something we've talked about is the fact that the red band salmon have always been kept apart from the anadromous salmon by virtue of the lava dikes that we have identified and which we know existed until recent times. The last lava flow from Mount Shasta, for example, was probably 600 years ago. The Native Americans who populated the area were 6,000 years ago, roughly 4,000 years to 6,000 years ago. And we know from looking at the villages as far back as we go, like, for example, Iron Gate, we have a village study that was done by an anthropologist for the Department of Forestry prior to the emplacement of Iron Gate Dam. And the mittens show for some 600 years at that village site, which is as long as it existed, it shows that they ate very few fish. They ate mostly smaller animals. They had deer, squirrel, and various animals that they could catch with traps. There were some fish, but most of the time the fish would come from the lower Klamath, which is where they predominated. And another guy explained to me his grandfather's explanation, which I thought was appropriate. He says there are actually two Klamath rivers. The first Klamath River runs to, and I know you probably don't have a map to look at, but to a highway I'm going to call Highway 5, which is below Iron Gate Dam. And I know myself from living on the Salmon River, which is a tributary to the Klamath and has no dams on it, that the population of salmon has fallen off there too, and it has no dams at all between the ocean and that upper levels of that river. It's a cold water river. But after the 64 flood we had here, which reshaped the hydrology of the Salmon River, we then had very few salmon coming up there because it was no longer hospitable. It actually became, as one of our former forestry guys, Ray Haupt, calls it, a sterile river because it was cleaned out by the 64 flood. But we have the natural phenomenon of these lava dikes, which are established both by work we did with sonar teams and by the University of Texas, that they existed there, and they prevented the salmon from going further uphill. Back to the story of this farmer that had lived there, a rancher, his family had been there for a long time. So the first Klamath came up to the below Iron Gate and is characterized by the tributaries running through the mountains. And the salmon, when they get to this 190-mile marker, are usually, if you're familiar with salmon, after beating themselves on the rocks for a long period of time, they have sores, they're unfit to eat. The second part of the Klamath River is an uphill gradient, which is why the dams are put there, because the fall of the water creates the power for the driving the hydroelectric turbines. And that's what Boyle found when he got there, and he placed that first dam, Kopko 1, in the slot of the Klamath River, which flowed over that. That was 135 foot high originally. When he got there, it wasn't that high. It had been worn down. But that's over a period of hundreds of thousands of years that that took place. Our area in particular, geologically speaking, is the most unique area in the world, and geologists will tell you that, who come here to study, because we have the confluence of several different tectonic plates that are moving underneath us. We have a lot of volcanic disturbance, and the shelf, the lava shelf, where these dams were placed was about 3,000 to 4,000 feet thick. Over the period of time the lava flows took place from the shield volcanoes. And even KRC finally admitted, after a great deal of time and confrontation on our part, they admitted that those lava dikes did exist and they did impede the progress of the salmon. However, they say that that stopped a long time ago. Well, they have no way of knowing when it actually stopped. But we do know that the Indians are latecomers on the scene. When they settled this area, is about, as I said before, about 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. So the problem is that once those dams are gone, it is now, and by the way, one thing that has not yet been mentioned is the plans for removal of the dams also include creating a thoroughfare up to the lower Klamath Lake. It's being covered up by calling in-stream blasting. But in fact, I've asked Pacific Corp now to explain a letter that they sent, a few months back to KRC, asking them to explain in detail what they're doing. We've asked for a copy of that letter. I don't know if we'll get it, but we've asked for it, because we believe what's going to happen is we're going to be able to show that the KRC plan includes blasting out natural impediments to the fish to travel up to the Klamath Lake, the upper area. So this whole plan is bogus. The whole plan that's going on is bogus, and it probably will not work anyway because the salmon are not a warm water fish or a cold water fish. There's no reason for them to go beyond the current dam sites to lay their eggs because there are no reds up in that area. Reds are the area where salmon lay eggs, where the tributaries come down and join the main stem river. So we're in the process of trying to approve that, and actually in the EIR EIS that just came out, the draft form from FERC, they recognize that we had brought up this point, and then they take care of it if they devote three or four lines to it, and then they take care of it by saying, but that was long ago, and they basically repeat what KRC told them to say, is what I assume, because it's the same language in the website of KRC, that went away 140,000 years ago, so the fish were able to go up there. Well, it's simply not true. But trying to get people to recognize these real facts versus the supposed facts is a tough business, because we're swimming upstream, to use a salmon expression, swimming upstream against the current. The current right now is caused by having an administration that's full of people that are naturalists in terms of believing that the land should be wild and free, the rivers unimpeded, unheated. Just imagine what human progress would be like if that was the attitude of our forebears all this time. We wouldn't even have a civilization. We'd still be living in tents and riding camels and horses and looking for the next dinner.
Now, we may not even be doing that well, Rich. You mentioned the Salmon River, yeah, and how even the numbers have declined in the Salmon River.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's just been happening naturally, and that's completely unimpeded, correct?
That's correct. From the mouth of the ocean to the area where I have my home up there is changed. considerably, and it's due to the 64 flood. There was a noticeable difference after the 64 floods here, which no one ever corrected the issues that were generated by that flood that were caused by it. And, you know, we have another document we've produced, which was produced by NOAA. They don't want to claim it now, but NOAA produced a document on two different occasions, 10 years apart, that said that the problem with the salmon wasn't related to the rivers. It was related to the ocean and the ocean situations, the predators. For example, the La Nina and El Nino that runs along the Pacific coast is where the salmon raise or spend 4 years while they're fattening up to come in to lay eggs and do their spawning exercise. And that is the predator population has been allowed to grow in that area because the fishermen have been kept from killing them, killing the otters and sea lions and so on that used to eat the salmon, still do eat the salmon. They gather there for the harvest. And also the international fishing process since the days the Indians used to claim that they caught salmon coming out of their ears, which also isn't true. In 1840s, there was an uprising on the Humboldt area where the climate starts, comes in from the ocean, the fish do. And there was a reported Indian uprising, which we have from the Library of Congress in 1840, caused by the lack of salmon, which means that they weren't getting up then either for some reason, whatever reason.
Okay. Well, you know, where can you locate where the four dams are on this map? Is there a way to do that?
I don't know what map you have because I can't visually see it. Okay. Maybe Debbie can see it.
Debbie,
and tell us.
Well, there's probably a website I can find that shows. But do I have? Is that my? Okay, so see, there's a dam on Keno. There's the Keno Dam, okay, right there. Mm-hmm. And then there are, yeah, and then go to, let's see, I can't read that. It's Battle Creek, Rich. Is there one near Battle Creek?
I don't know the name Battle Creek, but the dams going towards the ocean from Keno, you have COPCO 1 and 2, which are pretty close to each other.
And then
you have Iron Gate. Yeah.
So
and then the other dam is in Oregon. The other dam is in Oregon. That's called J.C. Boyle.
Which is, so where your cursor is, Thumper, Battle Creek to where it says Yreka. So Battle Creek to Yreka. There are, and not even as far as Yreka. There are three dams right in that section to be destroyed. So COPCO 1, COPCO 2, and Iron Gate. Iron Gate is the one closest to the mouth of the river. It's 181 miles plus or minus upstream from the ocean. So that's the closest dam. That's the largest dam. That's where the fish hatchery is as well. And what I want to also note, this is a map, Rich and Aaron, from NOAA. That was a NOAA map of the Klamath River Basin is what we were showing. And all those, you saw a lot of rivers coming off, blue lines coming off that picture. Something else to note when people say, oh, this will have nothing to do with me. It absolutely will have something to do with you because, for example, the Snake River, the dams on the Snake River are being considered right now. There's a big effort to free all dams and allow fish to swim wherever they want. But when it comes to all the little streams or tributaries that you see coming off these main rivers where they're trying to destroy the dam, they use a concept called full basin management. And that means that, for example, in years where you might have low fish count or you might have a drought, that full basin management means they have control of all those tributaries. That's their goal, is to get control of all the water in that basin, hence the name full basin management. And that means your adjudicated riparian historic water rights go to the wayside. And in emergency situations, just like with the climate crisis, they declare, or under the pandemic, under COVID-19, they declare emergency powers. And it erodes in every situation. It erodes your private property, your God-given almighty private property rights.
Well,
and that
Debbie,
is scary.
Yeah, it is. And Debbie, you mentioned the so-called full management area concept, but we've seen things like that in Montana where they try to do a river setback from the main rivers, and then they say, and all the tributaries. And I mean, if you look at all the tributaries as well as the main rivers, you're talking sometimes 2/3 or 3/4 of the entire map are subject to those same regulations. People need to understand, when they take a piece, they aren't taking just a piece, they're taking control of the whole enchilada. Aaron, you've been kind of quiet on
There are a couple things. Yeah, there are a couple things to factor in here. Once you take out, if they were to take these dams out, and it'd be the same thing with the other ones, when you take those dams out and you allow access to fish that haven't been up there before, I guarantee you the fish that will have access, they'll make sure that they're on the endangered species list before they remove those dams. So now suddenly you have all sorts of problems with the Endangered Species Act that you never had, because those fish never could get to you. And did you guys already talk about the coho salmon and the...
No.
Anyway,
talk about
the stupid coho. The stupid coho salmon, it just lights me on fire. So, you know, I can go to Costco or I can go to my local Winco supermarket and look for baby seal oil and tiger meat and, you know, a whole host of other endangered species. And, you know, it's the craziest thing. The only one I ever locate is coho salmon. Just the nuttiest thing to sell right there at Costco, endangered species. I thought, well, isn't that something? They always tell me it's different. These are different fish, but it's fascinating they have the same name. And the other little thing is the sediment. Did you guys talk about that already?
No.
We haven't talked about it.
Okay,
I mentioned early that we should be mining that sediment, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to give you because I guess I like things that I can wrap my mind around. You know, I'm not big on all the, you know, the long-winded scientific reports and stuff, because you can't go out and effectively argue with that. It's not available. It's too complicated. Nobody cares about it, which is where you lose them in the dialogue.
Right. Right.
But when you start talking to people about 20 million cubic yards of sediment going down the river, and now, to be fair, that's only what's estimated behind the dams. You have to remember, in a plan like this where they think they're going to just blow the dams out, that's going to suck all the sides of the river in. So in practice of fact, with other dams they've removed, the holdback behind the dams is only about 1/3 of the sediment. So let's just say it's 20,000 cubic yards. It's a lot. Seems like a lot. People, you know, 20 million cubic yards, it's a lot. People's eyes sort of glaze over. But most people have seen a dump truck, and they know how much fits in a dump truck. At least, I mean, you wouldn't want it dumped in your driveway. Like, we've all probably had that load of gravel or something that they put in the wrong place. And dump trucks, it's a lot of material. That would be the equivalent of one dump truck of material every second of every day for 6 solid years dumped in the river. Mm-hmm. And they think that's going to work itself out 180 miles to the ocean. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just silly. That's just silly. There's no possible way that'll happen.
Well, that's...
So when you look at things like that, it's like, why are we still talking about this problem, right?
Well, Aaron, you know as well as I do that... Silly doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing. Doing it because they can get away with it, and there's money behind it. If you pull away the layers of the onion, it always goes back to the same thing. Somebody's profiting from this. And I think, Rich, you mentioned earlier in the discussion that, you know, that some of the... potential money makers of this thing would be people like Warren Buffett.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Warren Buffett, just for an example, in order to get him to sign off on this dam removal concept with CPUC, they gave him a 10-year accelerated write-off on the value of the dams, which was valued at $450 million at the time. That's $45 million a year that he got to write off against his other enterprises, which means the dams are actually worth zero right now, which is an interesting concept because, you know, if I offered him $10, would he sell the dams to me? But anyway,
so then you'd be screwed.
Yeah, he may.
Yeah, the other part of this, Dan, the other part of this to kind of factor in, it's something that we all deal with in our homes too, is liability. Uh-huh. There's massive liability on this project, uh-huh. And that's a really, really big factor to consider with this, because if at this point California and Oregon have said, well, we'll pick up the liability, well, that's the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So if you create a Superfund site by blowing 20 million cubic yards of sediment out into the world, and you now create flooding, and you've restricted fire suppression, the water used for fire suppression, you've caused all this harm. There's a liability to that. Well, does that go to the California and Oregon taxpayers? My guess is it will exceed that, at which point federal taxpayers are on the hook. So you have people living in Ohio right now that go, I don't care about the Klamath dams. Well, surprise, you get to pay for it.
Exactly.
And from the money.
Go ahead.
I'll give you one other quick thing. Sorry. One other quick thing to consider on the money, things you might not consider. I had a meeting with a couple of guys who are working on the Trinity River Restoration Project, which is another failed deal we won't go into. But they told me something interesting because they told me that their management of it, that the things that they were doing was causing the fish to basically disappear. So they weren't increasing fish capacity, they were decreasing. And I said, well, how do the tribes feel about that? And one of the tribes told them to their face, that they really didn't care if all the fish were extirpated from the river, because if in fact that happened, they would be paid forever for the loss of the fish, and they wouldn't have to go to all these meetings.
Well, so, Aaron,
never discount that either.
Well, we've seen this go on. You know, if you want to go look at a real human tragedy, go to a typical Indian reservation, and you'll see what it's like when the government comes in and basically takes control of every aspect of a person's life. Now, I understand, you know, the Native Americans were a Stone Age people that were brought into an industrial scenario literally overnight in a matter of less than 100 years. But at the same time, we see what's going on in the Indian reservations. And all I can say is right now, nobody knows how to milk the government for money any better than the Native Americans.
Well, I've got a lot.
Yeah, my point in sharing that is just that it may, you know, just a point to ponder for those people who might be new to the topic. It might not all be about the fish.
Right. It's not all about the fish. It's all about UN Agenda 21, period. And that really is what we're talking about. And incidentally, we had the same discussion on forestry issues because forest, they say, well, I don't care what goes on with forest cutting in the West. Well, guess what? When you shut down all the timber sales and you end up with all these catastrophic wildfires and all the money that's spent to try to control them at a federal level, that's coming from states like North Carolina and Virginia that don't have those same issues, but that money still has to be paid, and it is. It goes to the U.S. taxpayers, not the state taxpayers.
Yeah, the depressing part about that particular topic is that people are led to believe it's a natural disaster. So the people who live in other parts of the country, because I've been those people, when you live in other parts of the country, you have hurricanes, you have tornadoes, you do have things you can't control. And they are leading the wider public to believe that forest fires are just our form of natural disaster. And they've neglected to mention to them that it's just bad management. It could be stopped.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I hate to say it, gang, but we're out of time. We've got a wonderful subject here. I have to say, we need to continue this discussion. Aaron, I want you to have a chance maybe to tell people about your radio show and then the work that you're doing with the congressman.
My program is easy. It's wethepeopleradio.us. And I have archives going back to 2010, probably. We do a lot of subjects like this. A lot of them come up through work, and they all tend to be those things that need more explaining. They don't lend themselves nicely to the 1.5 minute soundbite interview.
No.
And our congressional district covers the 11 counties in Northern California. So we start just above Sacramento, go all the way to the Oregon border and all along the Nevada border. So we have the same amount of people as other members of Congress in the state, but where you have 18 members of Congress in the county of Los Angeles, we have one member of Congress for 11 counties up here. We have the best part of the state. So, you know, I'm not complaining, but we have a lot of this kind of stuff.
That congressman's name is, again?
Doug LaMalfa.
Doug LaMalfa. Okay, great.
And he is a rice farmer. They've been farming rice for, I don't know, 95 years probably on the farm where he lives. He actually lives in a modular home on a farm on a gravel road. And he goes to Washington, D.C. to vote and do committees, but then he lives in his district, which is why he doesn't act or sound like somebody who lives in Washington, D.C.
Which sounds to me like the kind of congressman we need all over the country. Aaron, thank you for being our guest. Debbie?
Absolutely, anytime.
Please tell our listeners a little bit about the projects you're working on. And I know you're trying to educate young people on UN Agenda 21. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, I every year I'm an instructor at Camp Constitution. You can go to campconstitution.net, I believe it is. It's upcoming. We have Dr. Willie Soon and Alex Newman coming to speak again. And it's a week-long Christian camp. That's something I'm super, super proud of, where I started an Agenda 21 project for young people. But yeah, I continue to speak on UN Agenda 21. I've got a couple of upcoming speeches to do here in California, and I go everywhere. I don't even charge because the subject is all encompassing and so important. And so you can reach me. I'll just give my number, 650-417-1674, 650-417-1674. I'm not organized like Rich is with his water users, or Erin is with her show. But anyway, you can reach out to me anytime. And thanks again for having me on the show to introduce you to both Aaron and also Rich Marshall of the Water.
Well, and we'll continue to do these programs. Debbie, thank you for being such a wonderful patriot. Rich, very quickly, we're out of time, but please tell our listeners how they can find more about the project you're working on.
Right. Rich Marshall and Siskiyou County Water Users Association. We're located in Yreka, and you can reach it by dialing my number, 415-987-0420. And we need more people to support us. We are growing. We're just taking on KRCE has joined our group, some 2,000 members. And we're looking to our ranch here in the next week. We'll join us with 4,000 members. And we represent roughly 200 paid members right now within our group, but we also represent some 8,000 people that voted in Siskiyou County for retention of the dams.
All right. Well, thank you for being our guest. Remember, all government is local. So get involved, stay involved, help your local leaders who are people like Debbie and Rich and Aaron, help them to get this country back, because the fact is we've lost it because of our poor, I guess I would say poor stewardship. We have been very poor stewards of freedom. All righty. Pamphlet, I see you're ready to go. Anyway, the campaign show is coming up. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being our guest. Join us again next Sunday for Connecting the Dots.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say,
there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God.